everyone, and welcome back. Paula V here. Thank you for joining us today. I am so thrilled to have with me today Judge Michael Sage Hyder. He is just an inspiration and an amazing man. I am so excited to share with you. He is a retired Superior Court judge turned into motivational speaker and also an author. So first off, Michael, I would like to say welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, I thank you, Paula. Believe me, it's a great, great pleasure being on your show.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so, so honored. Please, let's begin. Can you please tell us a bit about yourself?
I'd be happy to do that. I graduated from the University of Cincinnati in Ohio with a Bachelor of Science degree in engineering. I'd been in the Air Force ROTC program, so after graduation, I was commissioned into the Air Force as a second lieutenant. While I was on active duty, I was assigned to the Nevada test site where I worked on underground nuclear tests.
Wow.
That involved, of course, blowing up atomic bombs. Following my honorable discharge from the Air Force with the rank of captain, I entered seminary for a period of time where I studied philosophy, psychology, theology, Latin, and Greek. And when I left the seminary, I attended the University of Toledo, where I graduated the top of my class with an MA degree in philosophy with a strong minor in psychology. And finally, Paula, I went to Santa Clara Law School, where I obtained a Juris Doctor degree in law. I was then a trial attorney for 11 years and a California Superior Court judge for 30 years.
Oh, I love it. Oh, what an amazing background. Oh, my gosh. And with all of that, your education and your amazing experience, what has that led you to understand about life?
Well, it's led me to understand what is the most important thing in life.
Oh, and what is that?
Well, Paula, it certainly should be obvious to all of us that it's not fame or fortune.
Mm-hmm.
Who had more fame or fortune than Marilyn Monroe, Kurt Cobain, Robin Williams, or dozens of other superstars who, despite their fame and their fortune, found life so unbearable that they had to kill themselves.
Yes.
So clearly, neither fame nor fortune is the most valuable thing in life. What I have concluded is the greatest treasure in the world is enduring peace of mind, that pure peace and contentment at the center of your being, the peace that Confucius, the Buddha, Jesus, and other great spiritual leaders possessed. That's exactly what Marilyn Monroe, Kurt Cobain, and Robin Williams fiercely hungered for, but they did not ever know how to possess it. It's the one true thing that every human being who's ever born has longed for. It's that state of mind where every day you can feel contentment and peace of mind no matter what happened to you in your past, no matter what your present situation is or the prospects of your future. Paula, I have found that enduring peace of mind is the greatest treasure in the world.
Oh, I absolutely love that. That is such a powerful message, Judge Michael. It really is. Myself, I have always said to myself, I could be just as happy in a cabin in the woods as in a mansion, because those things aren't my happiness. They really aren't. Oh, I love that. Oh,
yeah. And yeah, you've discovered this secret that it's not material things that make you happy.
Yes.
Best happiness is enduring peace of mind.
Yes. And wouldn't you say when we focus on material things, that brings in the want, the need, I'm lacking. That just brings more unhappiness, I believe.
I think so too, yes.
Yes, yes. Now, Judge Michael, you have authored a book entitled Spiritual Healing, Making Peace with Your Past. So I'm certain you're going to tell us how to get and maintain that enduring peace of mind, total peace within ourselves and a world at large, no matter what happened in our past or present situation. Please share that with us.
I'm happy to do that. Paul, I've discovered that, surprisingly, there are only three things in the entire world that can destroy a person's enduring peace of mind. The first category is thinking about what that horrible person did to you in your past. Every time you think about what he or she did to you, it makes your blood boil. The second category that destroys your enduring peace of mind is thinking about the stupid things you've done for which you cannot forgive yourself. You constantly ask yourself, how could I have been so stupid? I can't believe how dumb I am. And the third category that can destroy your enduring peace of mind is thinking about what fate did to you. You're born blind, deaf, you have a speech impediment, you were in an accident that has crippled you, etc. Now, Paula, this is so important. Please notice each time I said, you're thinking about.
Yes.
You're thinking about what that horrible person did to you. You're thinking about the stupid things you did for which you cannot forgive yourself. And you're thinking about what fate did to you. What I'm going to prove to you and your audience, if you'll allow me, and this is extremely important, that outside circumstances and conditions in your past, in the present, and in the future do not determine what your life is like nearly as much as the thoughts upon which you choose to dwell. So, Paula, if you'll allow me, let's talk about thoughts.
Love it.
We've all experienced having wonderful, uplifting thoughts come into our minds, the type of thoughts that make us feel very good. I call these positive thoughts God-I. That's G-O-D hyphen capital I. God-I thoughts, because they come from the part of God that lives within each of us. And Paula, I know that you talk about a life force energy that flows through us. I believe that life force energy is synonymous with my concept of God-I that lives within each of us and causes us to have enduring peace of mind. Unfortunately, on the other side, as we all know, we've experienced negative, self-defeating thoughts that come into our minds. The type of thoughts that really make us feel bad. I call these negative thoughts Satan-I. That's S-A-T-A-N hyphen capital I. Satan-I thoughts, because they come from the part of Satan that lives within each of us. I'm going to ask you to allow me to conduct an experiment that I believe will forever change your life, Paul, and the lives of your audience. And I call this the, quote, Hider Thought Dwelling Experience, end quote. It's impossible for me to overstate the importance of this experience you're about to have. So with your permission, I would like to go ahead and do that experiment.
Oh, it sounds fascinating. Yes, please.
All right. I ask you, Paula, and anyone listening in, to please close your eyes, lower your head, and please don't raise your head or open your eyes until I ask you to. I want you to dwell upon the following God-I positive thoughts. How excited you were when you got your first car. How excited you were when you moved into your first apartment. The day you fell in love. The day you got engaged. How beautiful or handsome you looked on your wedding day. The day your first child was born. Think about cuddling that child for the first time. Think about the happiest day of your life. All right? Heads up, eyes open. How do those thoughts make you feel, Paula?
Oh, they were so wonderful, and they brought back the picture and the feeling of those moments. It was wonderful.
And me too. I had the same experience. Now we continue our little experiment with a very nasty exercise. And I very much apologize for this part of the Hider thought-dwelling experience, but it is absolutely necessary if you and your audience are to understand the concept of what I call, quote, the art of thought dwelling to obtain and maintain enduring peace of mind, end quote. So once again, with your permission, Paula, I ask you and anyone listening in to please close your eyes and lower your head. And please don't raise your head or open your eyes until I ask you to. I want you to dwell on the following Satan I negative thoughts. When you were physically abused. When you were mentally abused. The most horrible thing you ever did. The most horrible thing that ever happened to you. The worst day of your life. What a complete schmuck you are. Heads up and eyes open. How do those thoughts make you feel, Paula?
Horrible. Really, really bad.
Yeah, me too. So, Paula, what important lesson did you learn from the, quote, higher thought dwelling experience, end quote?
I learned that if I dwell upon the God I positive thoughts, I feel positive and happy. And if I dwell upon the Satan I negative thoughts, I feel negative and really sad.
You're a very quick study, my dear friend.
Oh, thank you.
Allow me to combine those two truths that you just stated into one general truth that you must never forget if you want to live the good life and want to always be at peace with yourself and at peace with the world. And that general truth is, quote, the type of thought I choose to dwell upon in the present moment determines how I feel in the present moment. Let me repeat that because it's so important. Quote, the type of thought I choose to dwell upon in the present moment determines how I feel in the present moment, end quote. So, Paula, here's the really exciting news. You want peace and contentment, enduring peace of mind, every single day of your entire life. The type of peace and contentment enjoyed by the great spiritual leaders throughout history, it's yours for the taking. All you have to do is kill every Satan I negative thought that comes into your mind and dwell only on the God I positive thoughts. Living a really, really good life is that simple. And I can tell you from experience because I've been living that good life for many decades, Paul.
Oh, I love that. I love that, Mike. Oh, my gosh. I can enjoy a truly content and peaceful life by simply controlling the thoughts I dwell upon in the present moment, in this moment. And isn't that so exciting to know that? And I bet you're going to tell us you've developed a method for killing these, our Satan I negative thoughts, and to help us with the rich life of peace and commitment by dwelling on the God I positive thoughts.
Indeed, I have. And I welcome you, Paula, to the most wonderful world of soap. Yes, I'm saying S-O-A-P, soap.
Yay! Oh, 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 Mike. You're not going to tell us that we are to take our brains out of our skulls and scoop it away, are you? What is it that we do?
All right. No, you won't have to take your brains out. It's an acronym. I'm sure you realize it's an acronym, but it stands for S is stop, O is obliterate, A is alter, and P is praise. So when you have any type of a Satan-I negative thought about what that horrible person did to you, the stupid things you've done, what fate has done to you, you're going to use soap. Now, this is so important. I hope your audience will understand this. The first thing you'll do when you have a negative thought is you yell, stop. Now, if you're in a big crowd, use some discretion. But use stop. You realize that negative thought is going to cause you negative feelings. then you, oh, you obliterate that thought. Obliterate means to kill. So I stab it. I'll stab, stab, stab every Satanite negative thought that ever comes into my mind. Then you alter that thought by putting in a pleasant thought. What a great day I had on the beach with my family. For me, it'll be what a nice interview I had with Paula. So you alter the negative thought by putting in a positive thought. And praise is always important. Praise God for all that he has done for you. So with soap, you take back complete control of your life. You give to yourself divine peace and contentment every day of your life. I mean, that is really exciting. So, Paula, let's apply soap to what we know about negative thought dwelling, which causes negative feelings. See if I've got my message across to you. Every time your Satanite puts a negative, self-defeating thought into your mind about what that despicable person did to you in your past or is doing to you in the present, if that's the situation, or about the stupid things you did in your past, or what fate did to you, what are you going to do?
I'm going to yell stop, either out loud or to myself, depending on where I am. And I'm going to obliterate the negative self-defeating thought. I'm just gonna kick it out. I love that. And I'm going to praise God. I'm going to be thankful and have gratitude and love.
You got it.
I love it.
It works so well. You really feel a feeling of triumphant power because you now control your life. You're not letting Satan I control your life. So by using soap to obliterate, and again, that means kill, every negative thought your Satan I puts into your mind, you're truly free. You're free of all disturbing thoughts about your past. You're free of all perturbing thoughts about the present, and you're free of all fear and anxiety about the future. Praise God, that is true freedom. Freedom
yes.
from thoughts, negative thoughts of the past, present, or future. I know that one aspect of your show is helping men and women enhance themselves physically and spiritually and to move forward toward their goals, and I applaud you for that. But I assure you there's absolutely nothing else in the world that will allow you or the people in your audience to enhance themselves and move forward toward their goals than taking complete control of their lives by using soap to destroy every Satanite negative thought that enters their minds. You know, Paula, by killing every Satanite negative thought that enters their minds and by dwelling only upon the rich God-eye positive thoughts, and you would say from the life force energy,
mm-hmm.
there's absolutely no limit to what a person can accomplish. You have set forth a truly noble objective for your show, and I applaud you for that. Now, the vehicle your audience must use to accomplish that noble objective is using soap to take complete control of their lives.
Oh, I love this. I just love this, Judge Michael. I love it. You've given us a lot of material to think about. So can you pull everything together for us in a summary form and to make sure everyone has a clear understanding of your concept, the art of thought dwelling to obtain and maintain enduring peace of mind?
Paul, I'm most happy to do that, and that's a very good idea on your part. All right, first, you know that the source of your every positive, rich, good, uplifting thought is your guide eye, or as you would say, the life force energy living within you. Second, you know that the source of your every negative, untoward, evil, self-defeating thought is your Satan eye living within you. Third, you know with absolute certainty, as our experiment proved, that if you dwell upon your God-eye positive thoughts, you will feel positive. Fourth, you know with absolute certainty, as our experiment proved, that if you dwell upon Satan-eye negative thoughts, you will feel negative.
Yes.
Fifth, you know that by using soap, You can control the type of thought you dwell upon, which means that you're able to control your feelings in the present moment, since in the present moment, your feeling is determined by the type of thought you're dwelling upon. Sixth, therefore, you know that since you alone are responsible for the type of thought you choose to dwell upon in the present moment, which then determines your feeling in the present moment, then you must, whether you like it or not, accept full responsibility for how you feel in the present moment. In other words, you're responsible for your feelings every moment of your life, since you are responsible for what type of thought you dwell upon every moment of your life. So seventh, I now give you one of the greatest of all what I call good life truths, 14 words which will change your life forever if you'll only practice it. That good life truth, which will change your life forever, is, quote, I alone am responsible for how I feel every conscious moment of my life, end of quote. And that's so important. Again, Paula,
yes,
allow me to repeat it. Quote, I alone am responsible for how I feel every conscious moment of my life, end quote. This is the sacred truth that gave Jesus and other great spiritual leaders their enduring peace of mind. It's a sacred truth that will give you and your audience wonderful enduring peace of mind. Paula, the bottom line is, don't ever blame anyone else or anything else for how you feel in the present moment. Never, never, never. Never blame your spouse, your children, your parents, your boss, your employees, how your business is doing, not even Satan I for how you feel in the present moment. Let me repeat it one more time. Since I control my thought dwelling, then I control the type of thought I dwell upon, which in turn means I can control my feelings, then it necessarily follows that I alone am responsible for how I feel every conscious moment of my life. You can't get around that good life truth. There's no way you can escape it. Memorize those 14 words and repeat them over and over again all day, every day, as I do, and I guarantee it will change your life. And Paula, I say this as lovingly as possible to you and to your audience. Quote, you alone are responsible how you feel every conscious moment of your life, end of quote. So if you feel bad in the present moment, I say this as lovingly as I can, it's your own fault. No one else is to blame. The bottom line is, the type of thoughts you choose to dwell upon will determine what kind of life you will have. It's that simple. I'm sorry, but I really get excited about this stuff because I know it works.
Yes.
And as I mentioned earlier, I've been using soap for decades. I've had a very good, positive, rich life because of that practice.
Yes. Oh, I love it. I love it. This is so beautiful and such a powerful message. Oh, I am just enjoying this so much, Judge Michael. We do have to pop out for a break, but everyone, I will be right back with Judge Michael. Don't go away. Thank you. Everyone, this is Paula Vail, founder of Wellness Inspired and host of the Why Am I So Happy show on BBS Radio. My passion is sharing the beautiful healing modality of Reiki with the world. I help you reach a new level of self-awareness and create a more confident and empowered version of yourself. Learn how Reiki will change your life. Go to wellnessinspired.com. When you live a life with love and compassion, you allow your blessings to manifest. Check out my Reiki training and Reiki practitioner mentoring program, and look for my soon-to-be-released ebook, Why Am I So Happy? at wellnessinspired.com and the paulavnetwork.com. Big hugs to everyone. Paula V. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I am here today, if you're just joining us, with Judge Michael. Oh, my gosh. He is sharing such a powerful message and such inspiration for us about what our thoughts, our positive thoughts, our negative thoughts, how we control them, and the peace and love and joy that we can bring in our lives. I am just so thrilled to have you today, Judge Michael. This is so fantastic. Oh, man. But I would love to ask you, as we go into this final segment, can you share some conversation with us about the nature of the past as, you know, as set forth? Tell us about the nature of the past. What does that mean?
I'm very happy to do that. Again, I'm very happy to be on your program, Paula.
Oh, thank you.
It's exciting for me as it is for you, I sure do.
It's so fun sharing all of this. Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Paula. I do want to close by saying a few words about understanding the nature of your past, because I think this is so important if you want to be at complete peace with your past and actually peace in the present moment and the future. For those of you who used to be troubled by thoughts of nasty events in your past, but I hope by after talking about soap, you will no longer be troubled by thoughts of nasty events in your past, I want you to think about the following facts that will hopefully nail the coffin forever closed on disturbing thoughts about your past. First, and this is extremely important, your past does not exist. It just does not exist. Unfortunately, we are not taught to think about the fact the past doesn't exist. Past events do not exist anywhere in the entire universe. They are truly non-existent. What happened to you 20 years ago, 10 years ago, or this morning does not exist anywhere in the entire universe. To drive my point home, I want you to think about a unicorn. You can have thoughts about a unicorn, but you know a unicorn does not exist and therefore cannot hurt you. And you certainly, I hope you agree with this, would be foolish if you let the thought of a non-existent unicorn hurt you. It's exactly the same thing for your past events. Past events do not exist, and you'd be very, very foolish if you allowed the thought of a non-existent past event to hurt you in the present moment. It's absolutely essential for your well-being to unequivocally realize that it's impossible for anything that does not exist, including unicorn and past events, to hurt you in the present moment. It just can't happen. It's so important, Paula, and people don't understand that this past event, once it's over and done, can't hurt you. It's only your Satan-eye negative thinking about a non-existent past event that can hurt you in the present moment. So what is the solution? Kill, kill, kill all Satan-eye negative stinking thinking thoughts about your non-existent past nasty events. Since you now know that you have complete control over the thoughts your memory feeds into your mind, and don't forget, there's two types of thoughts that your memory feeds into your mind, the God-eye positive thoughts and the Satan-eye negative thoughts. Since you have control over the thoughts that you're going to think about, you then know you can choose to keep the God eye positive thoughts about your past. And you know you can, and hopefully you will, obliterate, that means kill, all Satan eye negative thoughts about your past. That will bring you enduring peace of mind, I guarantee you. So past events do not exist. Think of them as unicorns. All those past events, no matter how traumatic they have been, they're like a unicorn. They don't exist anyplace in the entire cosmos. That is so important.
Wow, that is just fascinating. So we just see them as they don't exist anymore. They are just unicorns. They're not part of us anymore. Would you say that's a way to look at that?
As I said before, you're a very quick study, Paula.
Oh, thank you.
That's exactly what I was saying. Past events, that's a message I'm trying to get through to everybody. Past events are like unicorns. They don't exist.
They don't exist.
And, you know, if you let the thoughts of a unicorn upset you, it's your own fault that you're letting thoughts of a non-existent thing upset you.
Yes.
So, again, I'd say this as lovingly as possible. If you let the thoughts of a non-existing past event to upset you, it's your own fault for doing that. Don't do that.
Yes. Oh, I love it. I love it. Now, Judge Michael, tell us, what is your second observation about the nature of the past?
All right, Paula. Second, past events can never be changed.
I have
dealt with people through the years, especially when I was an attorney more than when I was a judge, but I have clients that would come into my office and practically cry because of the stupid things they did. And they just, oh, if I could just change it, if I could just go back and undo it. Past events are 100% unchangeable. If you're possessed, all the money in the entire world, the money of the Gates, the Buffetts, the Rockefellers, Kennedys, Trumps, and you combined all that money together, you couldn't change your past by one sliver.
Yes.
If you possessed all the power in the world, the power of all the armies, all the navies, all the air forces in the world combined, you couldn't change your past by one smidgen. Now, if you insist upon dwelling upon Satan-eye thoughts about changing your unchangeable past so that you destroy the peace of the present moment, then you have very, very sadly fall into Satan's trap of wanting you to obsessively think about changing the unchangeable. Satan wants you to think about doing the impossible so that he can destroy your present moment peace of mind. That's Satan's mission, is to destroy your present moment peace of mind.
Yes.
You must come to accept the fact that it is not unchangeable past events that are causing you pain in the present moment. It's impossible for any unchangeable past event to hurt you in the present moment. Once it's over, it's over. If you're choosing to dwell upon Satan-eye present moment thoughts about wanting to change unchangeable past events that causes you pain in the present moment. So you can eliminate all your pain by using soap to never again dwell on any Satan-eye negative thought about changing unchangeable past events. You know, the type of thoughts that, I want to go back and change it. I want to go back and do it differently. I'm so sorry I did this. I'm so sorry I did that. Just got to accept the fact that past events are unchangeable, and don't let Satan-eye beat you up by putting thoughts into your mind about, oh, I want to go back and change it. It can't be done.
Yes, yes, I love it. And not give the Satan-eye thoughts control. I love it. Oh, my gosh.
I say this quite often when I talk to people. You have a choice. You either let your thoughts control your life, or you control your thoughts.
Oh, I love that. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Please say that one more time. I want to hear it one more time. That's beautiful.
Oh. I love talking to you, Paula. You get me all excited.
I love it.
This is very, very important. You have a choice. It's a simple choice. Either you let your thoughts control your life, or you choose to control your thoughts.
Oh, that is so beautiful and so powerful. What a fantastic message. I love it. I'm really excited now to also hear about your third observation about the nature of the past.
Yeah, this is the one that most people have a hard time with. But the third observation is, past events are feelingless. They have absolutely no feeling in and of themselves. And I know you say to me, Mike, that can't be true. When my father died, I was crushed. When my mother died, I was devastated. When I lost my only child because of a drunk driver, I was horrified. Those events are life-changing. How can you say they are feelingless? Well, my friend, I say they are feelingless because they are feelingless. You bring your feelings to the event because of your relationship to the event. Oh, let's think about it for a moment. Let's think about Hitler, JFK, Osama bin Laden, crop failures, home foreclosures. And I use these to drive home the point that past events are feelingless. All right. Hitler commits his suicide in the now infamous bunker at the end of World War II. What feelings did that have in itself? Hitler's death, in and of itself, what feelings did it have? Can you imagine if you were a member of the Third Reich, that you're right under Hitler, that you bought into his superior race, the Aryan race, and now this wonderful leader that you've been following for 4 years, who you admire, probably almost adore, he commits suicide. If you were a member of the Third Reich when Hitler died, how would you feel, Paula?
Betrayed, maybe?
Oh, I like that.
Yes.
That's a good word. You feel betrayed that he committed suicide. I like that a lot.
Thank you.
Indeed, he betrayed you. Yeah. So you'd feel terrible, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're horrified that this man betrayed you. Now, you're part of the American army. You're part of the allies, everybody, the French and the Americans, everyone else. And you learn that Hitler killed himself. How does that make you feel?
Happy. He was...
The monster's
monster.
Dead.
Monster, yes.
The monster is dead. So what do we learn? Hitler's death, in and of itself, is feelingless. No feelings whatsoever. If you're a member of the Third Reich, it's a horrible event. If you're a member of the Allies, it's a joyous event.
Yes.
That event, in and of itself, has no feelings. John Fitzgerald Kennedy was assassinated way back in 1963. Most of the people, it was a horrible event. Those who admired him, and most of the people, I think, admired him. But it was well known that JFK had political enemies, a lot of political enemies. How do you think they felt?
They probably celebrated
right. The
sad
exactly
thing,
right.
Yes.
So JFK's death, mm-hmm, in and of itself, had no feelings. If you admired him, you were devastated. If you hated him, you were jubilant.
Yes.
Osama bin Laden, when he was assassinated, if you're part of Al-Qaeda, it had to be a horrible, horrible event again. If you're part of the United States and we send in our troops to kill this horrible man, we were glad to get rid of this monster who was killing men, women, and children because of religious beliefs. So the death of Osama bin Laden in and of itself has no feelings. This is one I like to use, a crop failure. So you're a farmer here in the United States, and your house is mortgaged, your farmland is mortgaged, you owe money like crazy, and you're waiting for this next crop to pay off all of your debts and get well again. Unfortunately, the terrible disease comes in and wipes out your crop. Now, there's no question. The farmer, in my anecdote, is going to feel horrible. He's going to lose his farm because he can't make the mortgage payments. But if you're a farmer on the other side of the world, growing the same crop, and all of a sudden there's a shortage of that product, and your prices skyrocket, you're not going to feel bad. You can't. You're going to be joyous because now you're going to get twice as much for your crop as you thought you're going to get.
Yes.
So a crop failure in and of itself has no feeling. Depends if you're the farmer who needed the money or you're the farmer who's enjoying the fruits of the raising of the price on your crop because there's now a paucity of that product.
Yes.
Last one, home foreclosure. There's a terrible home foreclosure. You've got this big, beautiful home. The bank forecloses on you and takes the house. The bank doesn't want to own the house. I once bought a house that was in foreclosure. The bank is going to get rid of it as fast as they can. Is a house foreclosure good or bad? You can't say it's good or bad because it's feelingless. For the person who lost the house, it's clearly a bad event. For the person who bought the house at 50 cents on the dollar, wow, they get to move into their first home at half the price of what it should have been. This stuff is just so important. You've got to realize those three things that are very, very important is that your past doesn't exist any place in the entire cosmos. It's like a unicorn. Second being that can never be changed. Don't ever, ever, ever dwell on thoughts about, oh, if I could only change my past. And third, which I hope I've convinced everybody of, it's absolutely feelingless. What I'd like to do is conclude by visiting the Gospel of St. John, chapter 8, verse 32, where Jesus most wisely said, quote, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free," end quote. Let me say it again, because it's so important. Most people don't know what that means. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What truth is Jesus talking about? The truth that the sun rises every morning? No. Truth that the basic formula for the atomic bomb is E equals MC squared? That's a scientific truth. That's not going to set you free. The truth that Jesus was talking about is the truth that we're talking about today. They are so important. If you will buy into, I alone am responsible for how I feel every conscious moment of my life. If you will buy into the fact that the past is not existent, it can't change, and it has no feelings, those are the truths that will set you free. And I think that's so important.
Yes.
That you and your audience now know the truths about taking control of your life by using soap to control your thought dwelling. If you practice that truth, you'll truly be set free as God needs you to be set free.
Yes.
And let me close with this, Paula, because I take absolutely no credit for anything you've heard today from me. I pray I've forever changed the way you think about your life, and I pray that I've changed your life for the better. And I, again, think this fits very, very nicely with your life force energy. If I have changed your life, and hopefully I've changed the way your audience feels, and that they now will take control of their lives instead of letting their thoughts take control of them, if that's happened, I give all the credit to our wonderful God. And I'm simply a conduit that he used to get his thoughts about having and maintaining enduring peace of mind from him through me to you. And I also pray that I've assisted you in accomplishing one of your goals, Paula, namely helping your audience improve themselves and move forward toward their goals. So once again, my dear, As my wife would say, my newest best friend.
I love it.
You very much for having me on the show, and I pray that God will continue to really bless you and your ministry.
Oh, I'm just so grateful, this beautiful and powerful and loving message, that you are an amazing conduit, Michael. You just are just absolutely wonderful. I'm just so thrilled, and it's so exciting for all the listeners out there. I'm so happy to have shared this great message with everyone. And I do want to mention to anyone that wants to find Michael's book, Spiritual Healing, Making Peace with Your Past, it is in bookstores and on Amazon. And all his show information on the show page, you can find his website. I'm just so grateful. This has been so beautiful. It's your message is something that can change lives. It's so beautiful. And Judge Michael, I am sending you love, hugs, and blessings to all of our listeners out there. Love, hugs, and blessings. This has just been a powerful, beautiful show. I'm just so grateful.
Well, I assure you, and I really mean this, I think you're a wonderful, wonderful lady. I think it's fantastic. Everything you're doing with all of your shows, I don't know how you keep up that pace, but yeah, I'm glad that you do.
Yes.
But I admire you for everything you're doing, and you really are trying to help your audience improve themselves. I know that, but every show that you make and help them move forward toward their goals. That is so important. And I know you and I both hope that they won't let their Satan eye drag them down and deter them from improving themselves and from obtaining their goals. Now, again, either you control your thoughts or you let your thoughts control you. It's your choice.
Yes.
It's unfortunate, Paula, that in the schools we're not taught about thinking about our thoughts.
That's true. Yes.
Yeah, it's sad because it's so important to think about your
thoughts. It's so important. It's everything. It's life-changing. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. If somebody tells me they're feeling bad, I immediately say, I can tell what kind of thoughts you're dwelling upon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thoughts, it's a two-edged sword. The thoughts control your feelings. We prove that. We prove that the type of thoughts you dwell upon determines how you feel in the present moment. So it works the other way, too. If you're telling me you feel bad, then I go back and say, okay, then I can tell you what type of thought you're dwelling upon.
Yes, yes.
So simple. It's so simple in concept. All you have to do is develop the discipline to live it out. Every time you have that Satan eye negative thought about your past, present, or future, stop, obliterate, alter, praise.
Yes.
It'll change your life.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So everyone, take those thoughts with you throughout the day today. And I just am so happy to have shared Judge Michael. Feel free to email either one of us with any questions or thoughts. Thank you so much. Judge Michael, thank you so much. I could go on another hour with you. I really could.
I would enjoy that.
Oh.
And what kind of ways to show how you apply all of this stuff, you know.
Yes.
As you said, we threw a lot at your audience in the time that we had. I hope that they understand the basics.
Yep, I think they do. A big hugs to everyone. A happy day to everyone. A happy day to you, Judge Michael. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my dear. I appreciate it, and God bless you.
God bless and hugs.